Welcome to Native America Calling. From Studio 49 in Albuquerque, I'm Tara Gatewood. Colorado now allows for the sale of recreational marijuana. Washington State also expects to begin legal marijuana sales later this spring. Public opinion across the U.S. appears to be turning toward increasing acceptance of marijuana, but not everyone agrees. At least one tribe in Washington State opposes legalizing pot. Where do you stand on this issue? Stay with us as we take on what the debate over marijuana looks like in Native America, right after National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. A proposed pipeline that would carry Alberta oil to British Columbia for export to South Asia continues to run into opposition by Native and environmental groups. As Dan Karpinchuk reports, some First Nations leaders say opposition is growing.
The proposed Northern Gateway pipeline is vital to Prime Minister Stephen Harper's vision of Canada becoming a net exporter of oil to new markets in Southeast Asia. That and another pipeline proposal to carry Alberta oil to Texas refineries could mean thousands of jobs and money to Ottawa. To get First Nations support, Harper has dispatched a special envoy to help resolve an impasse with Native groups over oil and gas developments. But that envoy, Doug Iford, says so far there has not been a constructive dialogue about the energy projects. And now the opposition appears to be growing. Chief Reuben George is with the Tsleil-Waututh First Nation.
When we stand up, it's not just for our future generations, but it's for all of Canada's future generations that we're going to do this for. We're not protesters, we're protectors. We're protectors of our land, we're protectors of our water.
George says non-Indigenous groups have now joined the call for a ban on the proposed pipelines as well as on new tanker traffic to transport that oil. In 2010, about 130 First Nations signed a declaration pledging to halt the project. Many Aboriginal leaders say they understand the opportunities presented by energy development, but they want that development to be environmentally sustainable and to acknowledge Aboriginal rights. The stakes are high. There are more than 600 major resource projects planned in Western Canada over the next decade, worth about $650 billion. But without building trust and including First Nations in the negotiations, many of them could be scrapped or delayed. For National Native News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk.
A community loan fund based in South Dakota has received a six-figure federal grant to assist Native entrepreneurs on the Pine Ridge Reservation. Jim Kent has more.
Lakota Funds plans to use the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration grant to launch the Building Native Industry Institute. The three-year initiative will deliver at least 26 business education classes to 625 participants through 11 public access points and an online learning center. Spokesperson Kadem Fisher says the Building Native Industry Institute will help Native American entrepreneurs overcome the challenges of working on the reservation, which include limited resources and limited local infrastructure.
Our whole hope is to expand the private businesses on the Pine Ridge Reservation, to develop curriculum specifically towards industries such as construction, retail, healthy foods, artisans.
Seminars conducted by the Building Native Industry Institute will include topics on starting and growing a business, marketing, business planning, accounting, and human resources. The ultimate goal of the Building Native Industry Institute is to establish 60 new businesses on the Pine Ridge Reservation. For National Native News, I'm Jim Kent.
Four U.S. senators introduced the Native Language Immersion Student Achievement Act last week. The bill seeks to preserve Native languages and help strengthen culture and education. It would establish a grant program to fund language programs to improve high school graduation rates, increase college enrollment, and prepare students for jobs. The bill would provide funding of $5 million in 2015. In January 2000, the U.S. Mint issued the Sacagawea dollar coin featuring the Shoshone woman with a child on her back. In 2009, the Native American dollar coin program began with Sacagawea on one side and the reverse design changing annually to honor the contribution of tribes or individual Native Americans. The 2014 design commemorates Native hospitality during the Lewis and Clark expedition. It depicts a man offering a pipe and a woman offering fish, corn, roots, and gourds. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation, with funding from ConocoPhillips, Alaska's oil and gas company. Every Alaskan can support causes and organizations they care about when they file for a permanent fund dividend. Use PICCLICKGIVE when filing online for your PFD. With one donation at a time, good things will happen all over Alaska. Native Voice 1, the Native American Radio Service.
This is Native America Calling. It's Tuesday, January 21st. I'm Tara Gatewood. This month, recreational marijuana became available for sale in Colorado. The state already allowed medical marijuana, but now it is legal to purchase marijuana for personal use. Voters approved the new law in 2012. The same year, voters in Washington state also approved a referendum to allow recreational marijuana. And other states, like Alaska, may also see similar proposals in future elections. What do you think about efforts to legalize marijuana state by state? Would legalizing pot be a good thing for Native America? And do you think your tribe should get involved in growing or selling marijuana? Join our conversation today by calling 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And we know there are a lot of opinions about this issue, so we invited two leaders in their communities to tell us where they stand. I'd like to welcome Harry Smithskin, Tribal Chairman of the Yakima Nation, to the program. And Chairman Smithskin is Yakima. He joins us today from Toppenish, Washington. Welcome to Native America Calling, Chairman.
Well, thank you, and good morning to everybody.
Good day to you. And also, I'd like to welcome Alex White Plume, a former president and vice president of the Oglala Lakota Nation. And Alex is Oglala Lakota, and he joins us from Kiva Park in South Dakota. And Alex, let's have you introduce yourself in the way you know as well.
Oh, good morning. I'd like to express a good morning to everybody across the country, all our colonized relatives and non-colonized and friends, allies of the Americans, come from the Oyukpe band of the Oglala Lakota.
All right. Welcome back, Alex. And let's start this discussion. Chairman, where do you stand on the new Washington law to allow recreational marijuana?
Well, on behalf of Yakima Nation, recreational marijuana on reservation is prohibited and against the law. It's an item that's been addressed in our revised Yakima Law and Order Code since 1977. Prohibits the possession, sale, or distribution of marijuana by anyone on the reservation. It is a criminal offense for a Native American to have marijuana, to use it, to sell it on the reservation. So, obviously, we feel pretty strongly about it. We don't allow it on reservation. We oppose Washington State's distribution for marijuana grows and distribution on or near the reservation.
All right. And for you, Alec, what's your stance on legalizing marijuana?
Back in 1998, the Oglala Sioux Tribe amended the Law and Order Code, and they took a scientific action to separate marijuana from hemp. So in 1998, I started growing hemp, and the DEA still continues to attack us on it. They don't know anything about treaty abrogation law. But every day as I look in our community, I see young people intoxicated, drunk, beating each other, stealing. And I finally realized alcohol is really a sad product. When somebody takes something and mixes it with the intent to get you to be delirious, then that's evil. But then we realize that there's a lot of folks here. I have relatives that have seizures, severe pains, nausea, chronic pain, and elders are starting to come up and say, hey, we tried that marijuana, and we don't want to take those pills, those medicines they issue out from Indian Health Service no more. So today there's a big interest on the Pine Ridge Reservation to legalize medical marijuana, and we haven't gotten to the recreation part yet. But I think if you look at it from a traditional sense, in Lakota we call marijuana Wahupta Ska Phejuta. It has that word Phejuta in the end, which means that it's a medicine. So I think there's gaining respect for that aspect of it.
All right. And, you know, we have differing opinions on the line with us, and we're also welcoming yours as well. Phone lines are open. Where do you stand on legalizing marijuana? Phone lines are open, 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. Call in and tell us why. And we do also want to cover some of the legal issues in this debate. We asked Attorney Dennis Chapabetti to join us today, and Dennis specializes in federal Indian law and traditional tribal law. Dennis is an enrolled member of the Comanche Indian Nation of Oklahoma, and he joins us now from Elk Grove, California. Welcome to Native America Calling, Dennis.
Thank you. I'm very glad to be on the line, very controversial subject. And just to shoot right into the discussion, I can see both the chairman from Yakima and I can see Alex's point regarding the medicinal side that marijuana offers. I notice there's a great deal of commentary on the national news and the press and other people that are looking into, does marijuana cure cancer? That tells you how far the discussion's gone in the national. But I can also see the side with reservations like Yakima that see much of the downside with the youth and a lot of the permissive attitudes that lead to trouble on the reservations. And I can see many of the reservations wanting to prohibit the continuance of that kind of opportunity for a lot of our youth.
And
in other
that,
words,
that leads
what
us
goes
to
good
our
in the
discussion
state
today.
May not be able to be regulated pursuant to tribal law on the reservation. Now I'll leave it right there.
All right. And Dennis, you know, as we say law, marijuana is still illegal in federal law. What do tribes need to know about these new state laws that allow recreational marijuana sales?
Well, they need to educate the councils. I think the first step would be to just sit down and have a hour, 2 hour discussion with someone knowledgeable about the state regulatory laws regarding medicinal use of marijuana, recreational use, and growing marijuana. I think that each tribal council should become aware. For instance, I represent a small tribe here in California, and they need to know the scope and depth of what the state is doing on the other side of the reservation barbed wire fence, so they'll be able to understand it. I think a lot of the tribal leaders around the United States are very, very concerned and wondering, well, what do we do about this new phenomenon that seems to be cropping up nationally, and what do we do about it, and how do we structure our government and our law enforcement to be able to deal with it properly?
And so, Dennis, are we entering a time where tribal nations need to consider this and also start passing their own laws about this?
Yes, I think that we should. On the other hand, being very familiar with much of the tribal structures and government structures around the country, I think tribes would be hard-pressed to put into operation many of the regulatory structures that are needed to police and to enforce and to make sure that the medicinal recreational marijuana is being used for proper purposes. But let's face it, the marijuana is out there on the reservations. Our youth have it. Just like the youth have alcohol, just as what Alex said, and they can both be extremely dangerous with the injection of bad attitudes. We see a lot of news about high suicide rates among our Native American youth. Statistically, it's proven. And the problem is that once we bring in another negative ingredient that has the potential of causing more disruptions, we're going to see many more problems with law enforcement and problems with controlling much of the behaviors on the reservation that could be inspired by marijuana use among our youth.
And we're wondering, what do you think about that? Give us a call right now, 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And do you think the laws in your own tribal community are ready for this topic? Give us a call right now, 1-800-996-2848. Let's go ahead and bring in a caller. We have David, who is in Fairbanks, Alaska, tuned in on KUAC. Welcome to Native America Calling, David. And where do you stand on this?
Thank you for having me on. And right now, we got enough voter signatures for marijuana recreational legalization. We're going to vote on that in the fall. And I believe that this will directly impact the amount of homebrews and illegal, or basically our alcohol prohibition going on in rural Alaska and the villages.
All right, David, thank you for weighing in. And again, phone lines are open. We want to hear from you. 1-800-99-NATIVE. Pick up the phone and dial us right now. Let's go ahead and take another caller. We have Mashkuab, who is in McGregor, Minnesota, tuned in on WGZS. And what would you like to add?
Hey, I'm here. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to say that more and more medicine men and medicine women, you know, have realized that marijuana is helping our people there in traditional times and current times to deal with many of these post-traumatic illnesses from war and racism and things like that there. And I'd like to encourage the listeners out there to go to their medicine people there and see that this is a good thing, because it reduces our addiction to other things like heroin and meth and things like, and alcoholism. Please hear that message.
All right. Thank you for your call, Mashkuab, there in McGregor, Minnesota. You know, and we do throw it to a tribal or cultural point of view. You know, where do you stand on this? Give us a call, 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And would legalizing marijuana be in line with tribal tradition, use of medicine, or would it be in conflict? What do you think about it? We want to hear from you right now, 1-800-99-NATIVE. And, you know, recently the New Yorker printed comments from President Obama on marijuana. He told the magazine that pot isn't more dangerous than alcohol. What do you think? Is public opinion on marijuana changing? And do you think the president's stance shows that more change is ahead? What do you think? Tell us with your phone call right now, 1-800-99-NATIVE. And Chairman Smishkin, you know, I want to hear more of your thoughts on this. We're thinking about it legally. We're thinking about it in a medicinal purpose. You know, where do you stand on this? What are your main concerns about recreational marijuana being available?
You know, it probably goes back to the prohibition era when alcohol was prohibited to be possessed and consumed by Native Americans. That's going back into the early 50s. From that period of time up to today, our tribe, like many other tribes in the United States, still experience a dramatic problem with alcohol abuse. We've noticed during that period of time that many of those people had gone from alcohol abuse to marijuana abuse because they weren't getting the satisfaction they wanted out of alcohol. So they changed it to marijuana. And subsequently, after a period of time, perhaps they were doing both drugs. We haven't seen any good coming of marijuana. And, of course, Yakima Nation has never weighed in supporting or opposing medicinal use of marijuana. So we haven't taken a posture there. But from the recreational standpoint, we have not seen anything positive out of that yet. Even the taxation of it, which is being proposed by the state of Washington, doesn't sway us. Yes, we could use the money. We're suffering like many other tribes in the United States, but we just don't think that taxing it and legalizing it is going to make it any better. Our experience has shown us through our law enforcement programs that oftentimes the use of marijuana leads to the use of other drugs, more addictive drugs, and we just have to oppose it altogether.
And so have you shared, or has the tribe shared their concerns with officials, Washington state officials?
Oh, definitely. We've taken a number of opposition letters, 200-plus letters, to the Washington State Liquor Control Board, letting them know our position, our posture on legalized marijuana, and how we intend to oppose it.
And so, Chairman, you know, what kind of thoughts do you have, you know, if this, you know, it looks like Washington will see more of this in the next year. And, you know, what happens if the tribe still has this stance and the state, you know, continues to open up new places? You know, what does that mean for the tribe? Does this mean the tribe is going to be the one place that's going to be prosecuting this?
Up to this point in time, that's what it kind of looks like. If the state continues to legalize marijuana and the sale thereof, that has not happened on the Yakima Reservation until our membership tells us that it becomes legal. It's going to remain illegal. It's going to remain on the books of our revised code, and we'll continue to enforce it.
All right. And again, phone lines are open. What do you think? 1-800-99-NATIVE. Let's go ahead and bring in another caller. We have Makla, who is in Newtown, North Dakota, tuned in on KMHA. And what are your thoughts today, Makla?
Hi. I'm just wondering what the ramifications would be as far as if you're on tribal lands and they happen to be on federal, and federal law states that regardless of local laws, it's still a federal offense. So I'm just wondering how that would play out if it were to become legal on a reservation.
All right. Thanks for your question. And Dennis, can you help us with that one?
Yes. At this point, the federal government's view, and I'm looking at a article, Marijuana on Public and Tribal Lands, issued by the Office of National Drug Control Policy. At this point, there's a pretty hard line taken by the federal government regarding the illegality of marijuana use and growing on Indian land, and as well as national parks. So if you're looking at the federal government, relieving the stress on this issue, then it would have to come through the Justice Department. And I believe that President Obama's recent commentary is indicating that there could be a loosening of the belt, so to speak. There could be a looser, more flexible view. But then tribal governments like Chairman Smith can realize that it's got to be approached very, very cautiously. If someone were to go onto the reservation in a state such as Washington, Colorado, with marijuana, they're still going to get pegged with federal violations. That's just a sad fact. I guess it could be taken as a sad fact in some reservations, but that's the status of it. Until the federal government, Justice Department, starts loosening up and makes it more flexible, then there will be prosecutions.
Will that lead to confusion? Because, you know, just hearing this and hearing how the law is, you know, if you are a citizen of one state and off tribal land, it's legal. But once you get on tribal land, it's illegal. You know, is that sending a mixed message, you know, or, you know, are we headed for more complications if somebody feels they have their Colorado right, but not on the res? Any thoughts, Dennis?
Yes. The state, federal, and tribal mix causes extreme amount of confusion that will lead to litigation. And insofar as tribes' abilities to understand that mix, it is going to muddle up. It's going to be a muddied field to where tribal law enforcement, tribal courts, tribal justice systems are going to be wondering, scratching their heads, what do we do here? The person has a lawful right to carry that across, has a lawful right to do it off the reservation. They inadvertently brought it over on the reservation. Our police arrested them. So what do we do? So that's going to cause a great immense amount of legal questions out there that are going to consume tribal resources. It just and someone will take it into federal court. Someone will sue someone, and there'll be more levels and layers of litigation going on. And it's just inevitable. I see it as inevitable on the horizon.
All right. And if you're in one of these states and you've been thinking about this, you know, what are your thoughts? What do you think your tribe would do? 1-800-99-NATIVE. Let's go ahead and bring in another caller. We have AC, who is in Pine Ridge, South Dakota, tuned in on KILI. And AC, what would you like to add to our conversation today?
You know, I'm kind of for the tribes passing the medical marijuana law. Because I had a brother that was in an accident and had really bad seizures, and he smoked pot, and it helped calm his seizures. So in that sense, you know, medical marijuana, yeah, I'm for it. But then on the other side, I see young people smoking it just out of, you know, recreational use, if you want to call it that, or boredom. So I see both sides of the road. That's all that my opinion.
Okay, AC, thank you for your call. Let's bring in another. We have Tom, who is in Newtown, North Dakota, tuned in on KMHA. Tom, what would you like to say?
Well, I'd like to say that I think it's a bad idea to do this. It's bad enough they have alcohol on the reservations all throughout the United States. As for this reservation, there's a high rate of drug use, from meth to heroin to pills to marijuana. You know, we're supposed to help our people instead of trying to put them down back in the gutter. I don't know why they're trying to pass this law, or what the Indian people are trying to get into that. You know, there's a lot of alcoholism out there, too. So I guess that's all I have to say about that. Thank you.
All right, Tom, thank you for your call. Again, phone lines are open. We want to hear from you. What's your opinion on this? Call us right now, 1-800-99-NATIVE. Let's bring in John, who is in Spokane, Washington, tuned in on KSFC. John, what would you like to share?
Yeah, you know, as I visit a lot of my family on Warm Springs, and I see a lot of those jails completely filled up with minor infractions of whether they're smoking or drinking, and the result of not educating our people properly. And whether you smoke it or not smoke it, I think the biggest thing is the illegalization of marijuana has put a lot of our people into jails. And it goes to show, with Hispanics and Blacks and everything, it stereotypes and separates everybody. And I think the biggest thing that we need to do is enforce more education on what's socially acceptable, instead of prosecuting and putting our people in jail.
All right, John, thank you for your call there in Spokane, Washington. And again, we want to hear from you, 1-800-99-NATIVE. And, you know, just some of the information that John just shared. What do you think now that laws are changing? You know, people who are, you know, sitting there incarcerated right now because of this, do you think something should change there as well? 1-800-996-2848. We want to hear from you. And where do you stand on legalizing marijuana? Would it be a good thing or a bad thing for Native America? Give us a call right now. Tell us what you think, and you know, your thoughts on how this would apply to your own tribal nation. Are you currently from a tribe in either Colorado or Washington, and it's caused a debate in your own tribal community? What are people saying, and where do they stand on this? Today, we've opened up the phone lines for you to tell us all about it. And also want to let you know that we are taking your comments via social media. We're on Twitter as well as Facebook. Just look up Native America Calling. And on Twitter, we're 1-800-99-NATIVE, and we want to hear from you. What are your thoughts on this? We also have a gentleman from the legal side of things, and if you have a certain question you'd like to ask him as well about this, he's here to answer your questions. Give us a call. We'll be right back after this break. And again, phone lines are open. Give us a call right now. Dial 1-800-996-2848, and we'll be right back after this break. Obesity is a major health concern in Native America. What role does sugar play in weight gain? Was sugar part of traditional diets across Native America? And is it possible to eat sugar in moderation? Join us as we begin our series, The Big Three, Sugar, Salt, Fat, on the next Native America Calling.
Cross culture in the city, sense of music in the air. Take me to the place now with everything I need. Take me to the place with opportunity. The colors of the world make me want to see. The colors of the sea make me want to be.
Kawanning Broadcast Corporation is accepting art for the Alaska Native Art Auction, February 20th, 2014 in Anchorage, Alaska. Over 400 business leaders and executives attend this annual event to buy art. Proceeds benefit National Native News. Learn more at knba.org.
Welcome back to Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood from Isleta Pueblo. Today, we've opened up our phone lines to hear your thoughts on the debate taking place right now across the United States on marijuana. Voters in Washington State and Colorado approved the sale of recreational marijuana in 2012. This month, pot went on sale in Colorado, and Washington officials expect that marijuana will be sold for recreational use later this year in that state. And have you followed the news in both states? Do you think your state might be the next one to legalize marijuana for recreational use? Join our conversation by calling 1-800-996-2848. And thanks for tuning in today on stations like KDKO in Lake Andes, South Dakota, KYNR in Toppenish, Washington, and KOPA in Paula, California. And you can also listen online through Native Voice One. That's nv1.org. And before we bring our guests back in, we want to go back to the phone lines. And again, to get into the conversation, 1-800-99-NATIVE. And you can also post your comments online on Facebook or Twitter. Let's go ahead and bring in Cherry, who is in Hopi, Arizona, tuned in on KUII. And Cherry, what do you have to say about this?
Well, for one thing, I'm both Hopi and Navajo, and I practice both traditions. And I have a really strong spiritual belief. And one of the things that I had to encounter was going through cancer. And I really did not like having to depend on Western medicine to help heal myself. And one of the things that I looked towards was marijuana for the pain that I was going through, because I didn't want to use, you know, the medicines that was given to me by the doctors, because that was a, I read up on it and I researched on those medications, and it was doing a lot of harm to my body, other than trying to take the pain away. And so I was trying to look for something that was more natural, and I came to that, even though through the Navajo way and Hopi way, it was, you know, it was really frowned upon, but that was something that was natural, and I used that to help heal my body. So I am very supportive on that, as long as it's not misused. Anything that's to help heal someone can be misused.
And Cherry, let me ask you this. Understand, you know, the medicinal uses, and we've heard from folks on the line today talking about this. What about the recreational side? You know, the big debate is not necessarily opening it up for medical use, but for recreational use. What are your thoughts on that? You know, you've seen this as a medicine, but what about people who are using it in a recreational way?
It's the same thing as alcohol. You just have to you know, maintain it, and if you're going to use it for that purpose, you know, you just have to know your limits. There's no stopping it, because, you know, for generations there's been this debate with alcohol, and it is a downfall within our tribal nations. But, you know, these whoever wants to use those things for recreational purposes, they just need to maintain it and not go overboard and misuse it in a very bad way.
All right, Cherry, thank you for your call. Again, what do you think? 1-800-99-NATIVE. Let's bring in Susan, who is in Pine Ridge, South Dakota, tuned in on KILI. Susan, you're on air. What would you like to share with us about this debate?
Hello, my name is Susan. I'm Lakota, from near the South Unit Badlands. I would like to see our tribe with our unique sovereignty to enforce and act the growth of marijuana for medicinal purposes, for economic purposes. We could be exporting marijuana from the Pine Ridge Reservation to the world. So it's a big issue, it's important, and it's the least of our problems. Yesterday at one of our community meetings, one of the members said, taking out our land, bringing in alcohol. Our tribe back in August passed Ordinance 1322 describing alcohol. That is what we are against, the grassroots people. And we got the most grossest referendum vote ever.
Yeah, yeah. There's activity, and we have a gentleman on the line. We want to ask about that as well. Thank you for your call there. Again, we want to hear from you, 1-800-99-NATIVE. Let's go ahead and bring in one more caller. We got Angie, who is in Pueblo, Colorado, tuned in online. And Angie, what are you keeping track of with this topic?
Well, the one thing, everybody seems to think that marijuana is like this gateway drug to all bad things. If we really look at our culture, it's alcohol. You don't see a man who has smoked a joint smack his wife in the face and give her a broken nose. You know, people who drink too much, people who let alcohol take over and let the demons come. I'm an alcoholic. I don't drink. I don't smoke pot, but I do use the oils for my knees, for arthritis. My 83-year-old mother does the same. There's income coming in from marijuana that help take care of the homeless, help put food in the food pantries. The income is there. Education is the biggest part. People need to become educated about what they do to their bodies.
All right. Thank you for your call. And when we think about the economic side of things, you know, where do you stand? Do you see a potential economic benefit for tribes getting into the marijuana business? And could this be a way to bring jobs to the reservation? You know, how would you manage pot farmers and the sale of marijuana in your own community? What would you want to see tribal leaders do about this? 1-800-99-NATIVE. And I want to bring back the folks on the line with us today. It's Chairman Smithkin coming to us from the Yakima Nation. Harry is with us. Also on the line is former president and vice president of the Oglala Nation, Alex Whiteplume. And we also have Dennis Chapabetti coming to us from California, and he's also an attorney. And so, gentlemen, we've heard, you know, different views on this. And so, Alex, I wanted to start with you in the second half. Your thoughts on this. You know, our last caller brought up economic development. And what do you think about that?
I always look at the whole picture on this. Before we could create economic development, we have to look at the source. So then I looked at the United States government, and who are they to take the role of God so they can tell me what seed I can or cannot put into the ground? Now, that's just wrong from the beginning. But I'm in favor of legalizing medical marijuana on the res, and I'm leaning also towards recreational. But there is a way to do that. Now, if the tribe would legalize alcohol, not alcohol, but marijuana on the reservation, but keep the outside marijuana out, we would have to grow it, label it, market it, produce it, and sell it ourselves from Pine Ridge. Then we can create an economic market. We have to start thinking about sovereignty instead of always looking at the outside, bringing in to save us. And one of the things I don't want, and I voted against gaming, because we knew what was going to happen. What they did with gaming was they created this huge, huge regulatory commission to watch it, monitor it. They take a huge chunk of the profits. If they legalize marijuana, we don't want this huge governing regulator committee over us. We need to be allowed to make these choices ourselves. And there is money to be made on it. But in Colorado, I was just so proud when they done that day. People, they spoke out. They weren't ashamed. And within that first month, crime rates went down over half in Denver alone. And also, the price of the medical and recreational marijuana is way more expensive than the underground market going on today. So we're going to legalize recreational marijuana and medical. It should be for the purpose of making it available for those that want it, those that want to choose to take it. And and so they shouldn't drive the price away to keep the underground markets alive. I have all the manufacturing equipment to manufacture marijuana. I have a brakes to break the fibers down to fiber. We have ways to collect our seeds. We have a way to store them. We have paper making machines. We've made lotions, chapsticks, and everything from the hemp that we had here. So we know there is a market for it, but we have to make a wise, educated choice. But I don't really appreciate the United States taking the role of God. And I do support any kind of activity that we do ourselves. I'm so fed up with outside entities coming in here trying to save us. We have to stand up on our own 2 feet saying this is what we want. And as a person myself, when I speak for people, I don't say this is how I feel. I always go out and meet with all the people and get their feelings and speak their feelings. So even if I was against marijuana, I wouldn't say that at this moment because the majority of the people are asking to legalize it today. And there's a big difference between Indian reservations across the United States, and people need to realize this. About 90% of the Indian reservations are called Public Law 280 tribes, where they have to get permission from the state for everything they do. But the Pine Ridge Reservation, the Red Lake Chippewa, and the Navajos, they have a different standing. They kept to the original IRA laws. So we have a higher sovereign standing. But when another 280 tribe sets a bad precedent, we get the whiplash effect of that. And I wish there was a way where all the nations across the United States would come together to establish protocol so a small band wouldn't go out there and set a bad precedent. But as living on the reservation, we live on so much stress, poverty. We're born into PTSD, 90% alcoholism from the word go. So I think we ought to try something different, and I think marijuana is safer than alcohol. Let's give it a chance and let people make a choice. I know of 4 veterans that were chronic alcoholics that live close to me. Well, they switched to go to marijuana, and they've been sober. One's been sober for 13 years, and he smokes marijuana, but he has stress that this is not legal. The cops are going to bust in on his door when he's medicating his pain. He shouldn't have that kind of stress. None of us should live with any stress.
And then Alex, we'll be happy. Let's also throw that. Alex, let's also throw that out to the listening audience. You know, some of what Alex is expressing, you know, and that threat of the cops coming to get you because you're using your medicine. What do you think about that? 1-800-99-NATIVE. We want to hear from you. And Chairman Smiskin, you know, what are your thoughts? We threw economic development on the table. What do you think about that? You know, polls are out there that a lot of people support this. What do you think?
Well, ironically, you can label as economic development, and I'm not going to want to infringe on other people's wishes and jurisdictions. If that's what the people of Colorado and Washington State wish to do, then so be it. It's not for me to dictate what they can and cannot do. However, on the Yakima Reservation, it's still against the law. Until my membership says otherwise, we're going to enforce that law. And again, the Yakima Nation has never taken a position on medical marijuana. We just haven't thought that process through yet. However, we have thought about recreational marijuana, and I hear what other people are saying, how it relieves the pain and it's changed lives. I can't disagree with that. However, I do have to add that I had spent 28 years in law enforcement on the Yakima Reservation and the Colville Reservation, and not to be disrespectful to the other speakers, but as a retired law enforcement officer, I just have not seen any positives come out of marijuana. And that maybe I was biased, or I still am biased in my thoughts and opinions, but as a tribal leader today, I just can't support that effort and won't support that effort. Again, if that's what Washington State wants to do, they are their own sovereign, as is Yakima Nation is a sovereign. And we're going to regulate the laws that are best for our people until our people tell us to change them.
All right. Let's go back to the phone lines. Again, we want to hear from you. 1-800-99-NATIVE. Let's bring in Kathy, who is in Las Lunas, New Mexico, tuned in on KUNM. Welcome to the hour. And Kathy, where do you stand on this?
Hi, guys. I say legalize it all across the board. Like we say, economically, it'll help us. As far as stress, it'll help us. But I do advise the young folks, be very careful, because the marijuana that's out there today is not what we had in the 60s. Very strong, can be addictive. You have to be pretty disciplined in that area. And just legalize it. As far as I'm concerned, when I hear about the other guy talking about the police trying to bang down on your doors and bother you just for smoking a cigarette, marijuana cigarette, it really gets me upset, because can't find jobs. You worry about the police when this, to me, every green herb was put upon the earth for the healing of the nation. And that's just what I believe. Be careful, everybody. Legalize it. Thank you.
All right, Kathy, thank you for your call. Let's bring in another. We have John in Spokane, Washington, tuned in on KSFC. And John, what are your concerns?
My concern is driving very quickly. I say, when I was in high school, I ran around with Pachuco Mexican gangs, and they smoked marijuana at that time, and it affected their judgment. And so my question is about driving a car, operating heavy equipment, technical equipment where you have to make quick decisions, and that sort of thing. That's my question.
All right. Dennis, any thoughts on that? We're talking about this. What about that side of it, under the influence while you're driving or operating machinery? Any thoughts on that?
Well, it definitely poses a dangerous, absolutely horrendous risk on the reservation to have people driving their cars, operating heavy equipment, and doing the day-to-day things that are on the reservation, living. And many of the reservations have a lot of matters dealing with bad attitudes. And I think a lot of the matters have been caused by the poverty, the stress of making sure you can live day-to-day, and getting forward and moving around effectively. And on the other hand, we're looking at the injection, or let's say the use of recreational marijuana, and we're looking at that spreading across the reservation to everyday activities. And I see that as a very serious matter, and I wouldn't want to see our reservations just saturated with the attitude that, well, I'm going to go ahead and smoke this, and I'll drive around, and I'll go ahead and do this and that. Very dangerous. I just that's from a social standpoint, not necessarily a legal standpoint.
And Dennis, do you have any knowledge about states setting limits on marijuana for drivers?
No, I'm unaware of that. I would like to inject that the Hoopa Valley Reservation in Northern California and the Round Valley Reservation north of Ukiah have been undergoing very high levels of discussion on growing marijuana and using it. I will say that I believe that with the spirit of the comments made out there that, yes, Mother Nature gave us this green substance. Yes, Mother Nature did indeed put it here for a purpose. And yes, Mother Nature would like to see us use this to cure and to do things that would substitute for the dangerous chemicals out there that we seem to be accepting that can be wrecking ill health, bad habits, and getting addiction just like alcohol. So I believe that everyone needs to open their minds up to the healing properties of marijuana, and also take a look at some of the YouTube blurbs. There's one called "Can Cannabis Cure Cancer?" That's on YouTube, and you can get into it and take a look at that. But I do believe we're looking at a growing different perspective toward marijuana use.
Yeah, there's more information, that continues to get out there about this. And so I want to go back to the phone lines and hear what our listeners have to say about this. Again, if you run into busy lines, you can also post on our Facebook or on Twitter. Let's bring in Linda, who's in Central Valley, California, tuned in online. And Linda, what do you think about this?
I think that everybody should check out this video, this documentary. It's put together by doctors, marijuana users who are stage 4 cancer patients, ready, getting their affairs in order. And there's so much scientific and medical evidence that supports marijuana can heal cancer patients in some cancers. And I don't mean by smoking it. I think that there's certain kinds of things in marijuana that can cause cancer cell death. They talk about this in detail on this documentary, and it is on YouTube. As Mr. Chappabitty mentioned, it's What If Cannabis Cured Cancer? It came out last year toward the end of the year. I just saw it recently because I truly believe in your medicine is your food and your food is your medicine, and I think we need to look at this seriously as a medicine. I mean, there.
All right, Linda, got a lot of callers on the line. Want to squeeze in as many as we can before the hour is up. We're going to another caller. We're going to Daryl, who is in La Couturier in Wisconsin, tuned in on WOJB. Daryl, what would you like to add?
I actually have two things to say. One is, you know, we've been a traditional people and tried to get back to our traditional ways. And the arguments that are presented now are modern-day arguments for use of marijuana. Some of them may help with health, but there's ways to find out what chemicals would do that. Traditionally, in our peoples, we did not make use of marijuana. We did not see it as a beneficial thing. Some people may have used it here and there, but when you go back to traditional ways, marijuana was not an acceptable substance. And that's just in our tradition. Now, another thing, I'm a retired law enforcement officer, and I forget what else I was going to say because I thought I've been waiting and I forgot. But anyway, that was the big key thing, is that it's not part of our tradition, you know, and we had wise people all along who advised us.
All right, Daryl. And if you want to comment on what Daryl brought up, I also want to direct you to our social media. You can comment there, facebook.com/Native America Calling, or on Twitter at 1-800-99-NATIVE. And we are getting close to the end of the hour. Chairman Smiskin, I wanted to ask your thoughts. You know, where we're talking about how this would affect our tribal communities and what are the thoughts going through our tribal communities. But our tribal communities are also an intersection with folks who aren't from there, maybe even married into our communities. And any thoughts you might have about what this might present in, this coming to our communities through non-natives. Any thoughts on how something like this would be regulated? Are you worried?
Oh, we're always concerned. And we do face that dilemma now. We're in a society in a time where a lot of our tribal members marry into other races of people, and their practices vary and differ from ours dramatically. However, again, ours is to deal with our tribal membership on reservation. They've asked us to impose this law. We've done so. They've chose not to repeal this law. It has not been repealed. The law on the reservation doesn't have force or effect on non-tribal members. That's still the responsibility of the county, cities, and states to take care of that. However, again, as being a sovereign, we have a right to regulate our lands and our people, and we intend to do so. Once again, the nation has never taken a posture or position on the medicinal purposes of marijuana.
All right. And, Chairman, what's next for the tribe, you know, as this new law takes effect?
Well, hopefully we'll be able to work cooperatively with the state of Washington, and we have sent a lot of literature to them. We have met with them. We've talked about their marijuana law. Again, we're just asking them that if they're to effectuate their law, that they do it on their lands with their people and not interfere with the sovereignty of Yakima Nation.
All right. And Alex, you know, within the hour, we're hearing a lot of support for the medicinal use. But when we think about the recreational use, this is something new that's opening up to states. You know, what's the most important thing you want to leave us with when we're talking about legalizing marijuana for recreational use?
I think the war on drugs was a complete failure. All it caused us to do was fight each other. I'm going to a meeting Thursday night. I'm on a treaty council, so I don't really go to constitutional law meetings. But this Thursday, we're having a district meeting, and many elders are coming to talk about this recreational use. And one of the ideas that came out was that we'd like to be a Amsterdam. People have a destination travel to come here to our community and be allowed to enjoy it. And this way, there'll be tourism development, there'll be income coming in for many
stands that we have there. But I'd like to ask everybody across the country, every Indian nation, in your language, there is a word for marijuana. In Lakota, we call it Wahupta Ska Prejuta, the white root medicine. It has medical qualities. And before we had contact with Columbus 500 years ago, we had it here. We had certain people in the community would be fiddling with plants, and they found out all uses for it. We've always had marijuana because we call it Wahupta Ska Prejuta. And we don't make up our language. Our language is ancient, thousands of years old. So that tells us that it was a part of us. Today, they have a different marijuana call. Our original one was indica, and there's some new plants I'm not really sure of. But I think if our people want to do it, who are we to say no to them? We have treaty rights, and we need to choose how we want to live on our lands. So I encourage everybody just to educate yourself and the healing, the help. People, I've never heard of anybody dying from overdose of marijuana. I hear the alcoholism, people dying, you know, hundreds of thousands of people dying from alcohol, or they're using drugs from the hospital and they're dying because their liver can't function no more.
All right, Alex, I want to give Dennis a moment as well for a final wrap-up. Alex, thank you very much. And Dennis, you know, as a lawyer, what will you be watching this year as more states consider laws on recreational marijuana?
Well, it's going to trigger a great deal of interest on the part of tribal governments from the matter of economic development. Let's throw up a greenhouse and start growing some top quality marijuana, to other things with discussions on what this is going to do to our already weakened social fabrics that we have on many of our reservations. On the other hand, I think that the cautionary tone that I have to all tribal governments is to take the task of engaging with the United States Justice Department to get their views and commentary. And I believe we're just on the first end of a dialogue with the federal government. And there's so much confusion at this point that I feel that each tribe needs to seek some advice, counsel, and get a better perspective on where the government stands, the United States government. I agree with Alex that we consider ourselves in many cases subjected to an oppressed, we're oppressed people. On the other hand, when you're facing convictions under federal felony laws for the unlawful use of a substance on a reservation that's illegal on Indian lands, then we're looking at a serious issue. We've got to plug in with the Justice Department and get their clarification. And each Justice Department does have a little bit of flexibility regarding what they look at and what they'll prosecute. And we need to raise that issue with them.
Sure. Thanks, Dennis. Looking more into this, you know, how does the Justice Department see this playing out in Native America? Great question to leave us with. If you have more comments, join us on our Facebook.com/Native America Calling. Thanks to our guest today for joining us, Chairman Harry Smiskin from the Yakima Nation, also Alex Whiteplume from Pine Ridge, and attorney Dennis Chapabetti for joining us on the hour. We're inviting you again tomorrow as we begin a three-part series on food and health by taking a closer look at the impact of sugar on our diets. Our executive producer is Sarah Gustavus. Senior producer is Monica Brain. William Kai is our associate producer. John Strader is our engineer. And Antonia Gonzalez is the anchor of National Native News. I'm your host, Tara Gatewood. Visit us online to learn more, NativeAmericaCalling.com.
Native America Calling is produced in the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, a Native nonprofit media organization located in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, the McCune Charitable Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Music is provided by Brent Michael Davids. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.